Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let's bow our heads and hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the Sabbath day and the opportunity we have to meet with you. Covenant people meeting with their covenant God and hearing your words and your encouragement, your challenges, that we might keep the covenant, rejoicing that Christ has kept it for us and keeps us for himself. Lift him up in our midst, we pray. Glorify him and build us up in him by the work of the Spirit of God. These things we ask of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. Let's hear God's inerrant word. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, page 845 in the back of your hymnals. We'll confess the faith that God has revealed to us in his word by means of this ancient summary. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our New Testament reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 31, I can't find it, 31 to 33. This spark for this message was two Sundays ago when I was, thanks to some hardware, unable to go to church as I had elected to go. That was going to be at Pole Tavern. But Larry Miniger gathered some of us together. Larry's the pastor at Lake Sherwood OPC. And we did a study on these chapters from something that he had noticed. But in the midst of that, I noticed something else. And that's what we'll be looking at this morning. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go together before him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks that your Son has overcome the world, and that you have and are bringing all the nations of the earth before his feet. And that at the end of time, with the consummation of the age, before we enter the eternal sphere, he will render up his kingdom, which includes the entire globe, all nations, all ethnic groups, all tongues shall come to know Christ. How we long to see that day. We rejoice that we live in a time after the end of this last almost two centuries of missionary expansion, that the gospel's gone out from Western Europe and its North American colonies, gone out from those places across the globe, so that there may not be a single nation, may not be a province on this planet where the gospel has not been heard. We rejoice in that. And yes, Europe has fallen away into apostasy, as had the ancient Near East. There are few, if any, Bible-believing churches in Turkey or Syria or Iraq or Lebanon or Greece, the heartland of the church. And yet we are confident that the gospel will go back there again, perhaps not from the West, but from the East, as your church continues to spread and grow. For Christ has dominion. And we rejoice in that. And our prayer is that he would have dominion in our land, and even more, that he would have dominion in us. In us as the church of Christ, and in each member as the temple of the living God. That he would conquer us and subject us to himself. It's our heart's desire, our new heart's desire. May that be accomplished to some degree this morning. Be with us. Speak to us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. The passage that we read in John chapter 16, let's turn there again. Because there is a group of words in Greek, noun, verb forms, adjective, and so forth, all based on the letters N-I-K, and it has been brought into English in at least two ways. One was back in the 1950s, there were Nike missiles, I believe they're anti-aircraft missiles to defend the U.S. against a Soviet missile or air attack. And then there, of course, is the sporting goods company, Nike. The word means victory. In our English Bibles, the Old King James, the word is rendered, depending on its form, as a conqueror, get the victory, overcome 24 times, prevail once, we'll be seeing that verse, in the other forms as victory itself, and in a compound word, which we find in Paul's writings to the Romans, more than conquerors. What I noticed when we were doing our Bible study 2 weeks ago, Sunday morning, in this passage, my brother Larry was pointing out peace and tribulation, and we looked through 14, 15, and 16 for peace and tribulation. But what struck me was remembering our sojourn through the book of Revelation, how important the word is in that book, that here in John's gospel, we read, I have overcome the world. Now, what struck me about that is that frequently, and much more than I realized, the word is used in reference to believers, somewhat in the Pauline corpus, Paul's writings, but also in the book of Revelation and in John's first epistle. So we're going to look at those in a moment. The basis, however, for us, you know, over and over again, we read in Revelation 2 and 3, he who overcomes, and we'll be looking at those verses. But he who overcomes, overcomes because Christ says, I have overcome. I have overcome the world. In Revelation chapter 5, we read, But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep." At that point in John, that point in the Revelation, John is weeping because there's a scroll that's sealed, and there is no one who's worthy to open it. And so when the elder said, "Do not weep, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." That's our key word. He's had the victory. He has overcome to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. He and he alone. I love the in the context, because when right after this, he turns and he sees not a lion, but a lamb. A lamb as though it were slain. Do you remember that? The lion has prevailed, and the lion has prevailed by being the lamb who was slain. He has had the victory, and therefore he and he alone is worthy to open the scroll. Later in the book of Revelation, in chapter 17 and verse 14, we read, "These will make war with the lamb, and the lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." There's a little bit of the Ordo Salutis and our Sunday school lesson about the calling of God. "These will make war with the Lamb, and he will have the victory. He will overcome. He has already overcome because he's Lord of lords and King of kings." And it's because of who he is and our relationship to him that we now transition to a string of verses that are just so awesome. Some of them are statements of fact. Some of them are statements of blessing. Some of them, as with the first, is really sort of the end of the sermon in a way. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, we read, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." There are times the word is used in the book of Revelation where the devil or the dragon is given victory over the saints for a time, but then they eventually will overcome. Even when the two witnesses are killed, they are overcome and killed, and yet they have the victory in the end. And so we're encouraged by Paul not to let evil overcome us. Brothers and sisters, I don't think he's referring to politics. I think he's referring to the evil that resides within me. Why should I have victory over sin within me? Because Christ has had the victory. A little earlier in the book of Revelation, we have that compound word. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors." The preposition is above and beyond, hyper. More than conquerors through him who loved us. And his love for us was manifested when he had his greatest victory. I got to share my favorite little mantra with Larry, that Satan's greatest victory was his worst defeat, and that Christ's worst defeat was his greatest victory at the cross. That's where his love was demonstrated for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul strings the word together in a number of cases. "So when this corruption," referring to himself and to us, "has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're winners. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, there's a series of comments that John makes. "I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father." In verse 14, "I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who's from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. That abiding and that strength is the cause of their having overcome the wicked one. And then finally, of course, we'll move on at this point to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. How did Luther phrase it in his A Mighty Fortress? If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing doth ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is he. He will have the victory. He is Lord Sabaoth, Lord of armies. Little children, John writes to us. Toddlers, you have overcome, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. And he's the one who said, I've overcome the world. In chapter 5 of 1 John, verses 4 and 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. He's piling up the word in this little section. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So it's our faith. Our faith is the victory that's overcome the world. Our faith, because it is placed in and upon Jesus, who is the Son of God, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who has overcome the world. And therefore, if we have been born of God, we too overcome the world with his victory. And now the closing of those seven letters. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, and I should note that I've made some changes to the text. If you have a New King James, you'll sometimes find a marginal note at the bottom. It's particularly in the book of Revelation, where it has M for majority text and NU for critical text. In Revelation, M and NU agree against the two or three manuscripts that Erasmus had, late manuscripts, to compile this, which is the Textus Receptus. And so there are some corrections. I don't remember where I made them. So if it sounds a little different than what you have in your open Bible, that's why. Revelation 2, 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That takes us back to Genesis, doesn't it? But it also takes us to the end of Revelation. Where coming from the throne is a river, and the tree of life springs up around it. And God lives among his people. He who overcomes will eat from the tree of life. In verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Thank God for that. In verse 17 of the same chapter, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Sorry. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Do you understand the significance of naming? Adam names all the creatures because he has dominion over them. Naming in the Bible is a revelation of character, and who a person is. We get a new name that describes who we are in Christ. I don't know mine, you don't know yours. I'm sure it's going to be a little different than the one they gave me when I achieved putting my rock on the wall in the Indian at the scout camp. Or at least the ones they were going to give me. Revelation 2, 26 to 28. And he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Do you understand that that is a quote from Psalm 2? And in Psalm 2, it refers to the Son. And in the New Testament, we always see that as a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the part that blows us away. Jesus says that what is true of him, he makes true of us. To him I will give power over the nations. He, not Christ, he, the overcomer, shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. I don't think that's a reference to the planet Venus, where lead would be running molten. Revelation 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's a promise we heard in the Gospels, isn't it? Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, branded as the property of Yahweh, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. The personal property of the triune God, the personal property of the God-man. In verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame, and praise his name, and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. I got to see again, I don't know if Faith OPC ever got a copy, but Caney OPC does. It's hung up in the hallway outside the bathrooms where you can't hardly read it. I can't remember her name now. Anna Strickberger. So far, praise God, the only OPC martyr. Remember what she said? I'm not afraid. If we had a copy, we should have it hung up in a prominent place. I always wondered why it was stuck outside the bathrooms at Caney. The accusers of the brethren, our brethren, that includes us, because we're accused by him. He's the slanderer. He slanders us by telling the truth. Did you see what Roy did? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There's the victory. Not in our strength, but in him. Revelation 15, 2 through 4. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Who gets to sing that song? Those who have overcome. And they've overcome because of Christ. Finally, Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes, I shall give him these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. We come to this table as those who are called to be overcomers, victors, conquerors, because this table celebrates Christ's conquest over sin and death for for us. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Christ has called us to be overcomers, and he has promised us great and glorious promises. The greatest is the one in 21:7. I will be his God, and he will be my son. This Christ has done for us. Let's prepare then our hearts to come before this table. And we'll start that by singing hymn 420. Amen. You may be seated. In Matthew's gospel, we read, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Excuse me. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. The physical elements, representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior, are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and without repentance live in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink damnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble or repentant from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those of us who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper come as guilty and polluted sinners, and we come without hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness. And we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and to follow Christ. Therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, let us examine our minds and our hearts to see whether we have the discernment to come to the table, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our own growth in the grace of Christ. Let's bow our heads before him. Our Father, we give you thanks for the bread, that which is the sign and seal of the body of Christ broken for us. There at the table in the feast of unleavened bread, remembering the sacrifice of lambs that you would pass over to the home, here is the Lamb of God, offering his body to be broken for us. Bless it to us. Feed us on Christ, we pray. There is no magic here turning bread into human flesh. Christ's body is not present, but Christ is. Feed us on him. Nourish us with him, that we might overcome with him. We pray this of you in his precious name. Amen. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, having taken bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, since we were little boys and girls, we knew that when our flesh was broken, our blood came out. We fell and skinned our knee. Our mommy would kiss it, pour mercurochrome on it and torture us. But when we grew older and we heard your word, we understood the significance. For life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so when Christ offers this cup in the new covenant in his blood, he's offering life. He's the water of life. And he offers us his blood through this cup, which is the sign and seal of that blood. The blood of bulls and goats did not wash away sin, but the blood of Christ does and leaves no stain behind. Bless to us the cup. Bless to us the blood of the Lamb who's borne our sin, had the victory that we too might live victoriously for him. In his name we pray, amen. The earth is Yahweh's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of Yahweh? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh, strong and mighty, Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Yahweh of hosts, he is the King of glory. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Our Father and our God, as the hymn writer said, if we had 1,000 tongues and 10,000 years, how can we begin to praise you for what you have done in giving to us your Son, giving your Son for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would give yourself for us astonishes us. When we look into ourselves and see what we really are, when we're honest in our closets, that the King of glory would become a lamb for me, How can we ever praise you enough? How can we ever give you thanks enough? And since we can't, we bring to you instead a prayer. May the Spirit finish the job. Bring us into total submission to the one who loved us so much that when we were his enemies, he died for us. Make us yours, that we may overcome with you. And we pray this of you in your own name. Amen.